part of the family of God, accepted on the basis of his righteousness, accepted on the basis of his sacrifice. And nothing can separate me from that love in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for your unfailing love. I want to thank you for your unchanging love. Thank you that your heart isn't governed by circumstances. Thank you for your steady heart. And thank you for your fixed heart towards us. Thank you that nothing will separate us from that love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you so loved this world that you sent your Son in order to be that atoning sacrifice for our sins. Thank you that you wanted us back. You wanted relationship with us. And thank you that you're about the business of making all things new. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're preparing a place for us so that where you are, we will be also. And when we see you, we'll be like you. Thank you that we have such a great gospel to tell, such great news to tell. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been following this series entitled Normal Christianity. This is the last in the series. Remember, normal is conformity to a stated or an expected standard. And so our normal in Christianity, the stated, the expected standard, is Jesus himself. We are being conformed into his image and likeness. That's the goal, and that's the process that we're part of. So for me, my normal Christianity isn't based on my experience at Bethel Evangelical Church Nelson, where I grew up, or Hebron Baptist Church in Dowlais, where I spent some time as a pastor, or Hope Church, Merthyr, or Gateway. That my understanding of what is normal Christianity isn't based on any of those experiences, though hopefully many of those experiences demonstrate something of that, of what it means to be a normal Christian, but it's based firmly on the person of Jesus himself. And when you think of that, if normal, not extraordinary, but normal is Jesus, the typical response that I would have to that is, well, that's just too difficult, you know? You look at his life. You look at his life in his actions, in the supernatural works that he's part of, in his character, his heart, and you think that standard is just so high. I don't have what it takes to live that kind of lifestyle and to demonstrate those kind of values. How do I do that? And that's why Jesus says to his disciples or his apprentices, he says, I will pray to the Father and he will send you another helper. And the word another is one just like. I will send you another helper just like me, and he will be with you forever. That's how it becomes possible, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And not only with us, but in us, so that the life of Jesus can be lived out through us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he says. It's not something we just try and conjure up. It's not something we just try harder to do, but something that flows into us and out of us through that intimacy of relationship with him, through abiding with him. John 15, abide in me, and I knew you will bear much fruit, when there's that depth of intimacy, of relationship. And it's noticeable. When that happens, it's noticeable. It becomes obvious when the Holy Spirit begins to take lead in the lives of individuals and in the life of a church community. And we see that. So that normal Christianity is lived out through the early church. We see it in the book of Acts. This is what it looks like when the life of the Spirit is operating out of the body of believers. And so just scan. Here's a few things I've jotted down. Acts 2, 5 to 13, 120 disciples in an upper room are filled with the Spirit, and the consequences of that don't go unnoticed. It doesn't remain hidden. is noticed by the outsiders. And then Acts 4, 13 to 15, the religious leaders arrest Peter and John, and they marvel, remember, their boldness and their insight being uneducated men. Where's this coming from? And they recognize there's something exceptional, there's something extraordinary about these men. They remember, realize they've been with Jesus. So it's noticed, it's apparent by the opponents. And then Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7. Choose out for yourselves seven men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. It was noticeable amongst themselves. What were we meant to look for? Well, you know, when you see it, it's evident. It's this life of Jesus. It's the demonstration of the life of Jesus in his people. And then Acts 11, 15 to 18. Gospel breaks into Gentile territory, and what convinced the Jewish believers that this was actually the work of God and they were also receiving the Holy Spirit was the outward demonstration. It was evident, it was noticeable through the gifts of the Spirit that were operating through the Gentiles now as well. Noticeable. We can see. And then Acts 19, 1 to 6. It's noticed by his absence. The same thing in Acts chapter 8. Have you not received the Holy Spirit yet when you believed? It's something that they realized was missing when it wasn't there. Well, let's pray that you receive the Spirit. And one thing is clear in reading the book of Acts, the empowering presence of the Spirit of God was entirely recognizable when it was present, and also when it was absent. And the life and the power of Christ is on display, of course, in all kinds of ways. It's not just supernatural gifts of the Spirit. This was a community then of extraordinary love and extraordinary generosity. That's a wonderful aspect, isn't it? Particularly in our age, in the West. And whatever. But there was this just incredible generosity out of display, the generosity that looked like their Father in heaven, because he's generous. And then this unity amongst them, and then this devotion, this passion, and there was miraculous power, and there's boldness in witness in the face of persecution. There was something that mattered more to them than their lives, more precious to them than to live. Incredible. And it's the kind of normal that we see in the Gospels and Jesus being lived out now in those early disciples. And we've already seen there's great danger in slipping into the kind of self-reliance Christian lifestyle that misses this vital means that God has given to us so that our lives flourish and bring this transformation wherever we go as intended. And it can become just busy activism. Without the power of the Spirit, we can be very busy and do lots and lots of good things, and the fruit will be very little because it's not empowered by God. So here's Paul writing to this community of believers in a city called Corinth. This is what we're going to pick up on again. And he says these wonderful words on the back of 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you will know it. If you don't, read through again. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. But on the back of that, the centrality and the importance of love, this is what he says. So pursue love. Pursue it. Make that a priority. Make it a focus. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spirituals or spiritual gifts in the original. It's just the spirituals. Pursue love. Make sure that's the foundation of everything that you do. This isn't just about some extraordinary gifts. That's just where there's been so many problems through history. You just want the fantastic and the wonderful and the marvelous and whatever, and yet it's not built on a foundation of love. Pursue love. And desire, earnestly desire, the spirituals, especially, and this is why it's the best, especially, out of all of them, especially, that you may prophesy. And God is love, and his kingdom is a kingdom of love that advances, only ever advances and conquers through love. which is why Paul says pursue love. It's got to be foundational. Fruitfulness can only come from that place. But the outworking of that love is earnestly desiring spiritual gifts. The means by which that love gets realized, gets experienced, is through spirituals. Jesus said, your heavenly Father loves to give good gifts. He loves to give Holy Spirit gifts to those who ask. Because this is why he loves to do that. Because these gifts enable demonstrations of kingdom love, of extraordinary love. We said a couple of weeks ago, I think, that the majority of God's gifts are not primarily given to you, but through you. And so the natural question, I guess, is how many of us want to be this kind of means of blessing? You want the life of God, the heart of God, to flow through you in order that you get to bring rich blessing to others of a supernatural nature, of an extraordinary nature, of a divine nature. I mean, don't all of us want that? To live our lives in that way? That this normal, unimpressive drain pipe gets to be the means of bringing the richest and deepest of blessing to others? Pursue love and crave, hunger, thirst after, long for the spirituals as the most necessary and vital tools for the flourishing and for the multiplying of kingdom blessing. It really is one of the loveliest gifts that the Lord gives us, this gift of prophecy. Interestingly, when Joel prophesied, Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, concerning the new covenant, he said there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all God's people, all kinds of people, on everybody, not just a select few. And one of the key signs that this has taken place is that there would be prophesying. And central to the purpose of prophecy is always to connect people's hearts to God's heart. That's the point. That's what it is. It's a passion to have people experience the heart of God. That's what prophecy is about. And the challenge is, if we don't see why we need something or appreciate its value, then we're not going to hunger for it. It's just going to be one of those things. Yeah. Have you ever seen the Emoji movie? It's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, it is. I've seen some bad films, but it's definitely the worst ever. But it's all about this emoji. It's called meh. And sometimes we can be like that, but aspects of what God has given to us and what he wants us to be involved in. Whatever. To be able to be used as this means of connecting people to the heart of God. Well, Paul's very clear at the end of 1 Corinthians 13 that we need these gifts until Jesus returns. So we still need them. And if we're on board in God's mission of demonstrating his love to the world, we've got to earnestly desire them. So verse 3 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding or strengthening, for their encouragement and their consolation. That's verse 3. That's a good place to start, isn't it? What is this about? What's the point of it? What's the purpose? Three things. Strengthening, encouragement, consolation. What a gift. Verse 4, he or she builds up the church. Great gift. Verse 12, so strive. Isn't that a strong word, isn't it? Strive to excel in building up the church. Pursue this gift, this wonderful gift, prophecy through love, so that you get to be part of encouraging, bringing comfort, bringing strength, building people up. What a precious gift. You get to be the means of helping to deliver people from dark clouds of discouragement that hang over. Not because of some great wisdom, but because God gives a word that pierces through to their heart and brings light. To bring God's affirmation, to instill confidence in a particular direction someone's going, and maybe there's uncertainty, maybe things have all seem to be falling apart, and they know, am I going the right way? Am I supposed to be doing this? And somebody comes and speaks in, and they say, do you know, I believe God has got a word for you, and particularly for somebody you don't know. I believe this is what he's wanting to say. And you hear that and you go, whoa, thank you, Lord. Keep going. Or stop, turn around, go the other way. But you hear from God in specific details of your life. You get to speak peace into troubled souls. It's a wonderful thing to be on the receiving end of a prophetic word. And it's very humbling and so encouraging to be used as a drain pipe in that as well. In ways in which you never really know. Some people seem to. But there's always this sense of uncertainty in the moment, particularly if it's a specific thing. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I just feel like God is saying right now, and that's a frightening part. Boom, you're stepping into that. And you speak the word. And it's such a wonderful thing when they resonate and they begin to unpack the story and you see how, glory to God, you just spoken directly into their life right now. Thank you, Lord. It's wonderful. I just had a great experience in Germany. We went down to a church in Dresden the second half of the week, and we arrived in Dresden and straight to a church wider leadership meeting. So there are 8 people in the leadership, and they were working through some details in the life of the church. And I was kind of sitting on the side just praying if there was anything that God had to say. And God gave me a word for each of the individuals there. And I knew nothing about any of them, which is great. It's much easier then, because if you know them, it's always kind of, yeah, well, I know some circumstances here, so I'm kind of... And there was raucous laughter because of the specific detail. No way, God, yes, that is, yes, yes, yes. And it's so, and you don't think, hey, look at me. There's nothing of that. God, you are so kind, blessing these people. I went back to our host's home that evening, and I did something Bruce Collins asked me and Ange to do once. He said, I want you to sit here, and people are going to come and spend some time with you, and you're not to ask them any questions. They're not to speak anything to you. You're just going to wait on God, and you're going to speak what God shows you for them. So we did that. It was just great. But so I said to these people, okay, I'd like you to listen to God for me. You know nothing about me. You know nothing about my circumstance. You know anything about my family, church, anything. And see if God gives you something for me. And they said, okay, we need to pray. And they didn't say it like that. They said in a German accent. And it was incredible. So specific. Both of them. And it's God's heart. So I could have gone there and said, okay, here's some things going on in my life right now, and unpack all of these things. What would you have to say into that? And they bring their wisdom into that, and it could be good. But there's something so good when they know nothing. And then there's a wisdom that comes from above that is just being spoken into. It's what God loves to do, because he is the way of love. He loves to find those who pursue love and then earnestly desire the spirituals to demonstrate the Spirit's power. He loves to encourage people. He loves to do that. And he wants to do that right now. You know that. He does. He wants to do that right now. Because he always wants to do that. And there are people here this evening that God especially wants to instill strength and courage and hope into right now, right this evening. And he wants to use us to do that. That is part of his plan and purpose for the family of God, for the gathered church, that we speak those words of encouragement from him to one another. So just as we were singing earlier, I was just asking, Lord, would you What do you do again when you sit in Jeremy? It's different. I know some stuff about you. I got a really, this is going to be very brief, but I got a really weird picture, first of all. First thing I got was my dad's old Marina. Remember those cars? Marinas? Sorry? Morris Marina. Yeah, yeah. And Josh, sorry to point you, I just saw you as this Marina, but there was a guy on our street that had this Marina, this battered old Marina, but there was this, he put this souped up engine inside it. So it just looked like this ordinary, average, middle-aged man's car kind of thing. But then he'd start and go, you know, and he'd fly down the road. And just sensed that, do you know, it may be in terms of the life of the church, nothing outwardly that people go, wow, but he's put something in you. This is an engine he's put in you that he wants to use for his glory. And you can go places with that. God's going to use you with that. And then another strange thing. I always get strange pictures, but for Claire, I saw it. Do you remember in the amusement arcades, we had these 2 pence things, and they drop down, and then there's the thing moving back and forth, and then there's another one on another level, and they kind of drop down, and you have this, there's loads of them just hanging over, waiting. Have you ever seen, do you ever play with those? Do they still have them? You ever seen them? And you're like, oh, they're bound to drop any minute, put another 2 in, another 2 in, another 2 in, and it never goes anywhere. And the sense in which there's been lots, you've invested yourself, there's been lots of investment, 2 pence after 2 pence after 2 pence, and almost putting them all in, and it's just, there's a sense in which it's just hanging there. And the Lord's saying, keep putting them in, it's going to drop, it's going to drop. Don't give up, don't walk away. Next person comes along, but don't walk away at this point, don't do that, just keep putting them in. And it's going to drop. But last one. I think it's because you were behind me. I heard you singing. But I saw, and maybe it's connected to this. I saw you, that's in January. We went away for a few days as a family. And we went to this kind of, on these rocks, going out into the sea. What do you call that? What is it? Peninsula, that's it. So we were there, we were standing. But I saw you stood there, just worshiping God. Like this, just arms in the air, worshiping God, singing. Praise to God. And this is the verse that came into my mind. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined, he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a pit of miry clay, and he's put my feet on a rock, and he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. Increasingly, it's your experience. Bless you with that. He loves to bring comfort to his people. And the Lord loves to encourage the church in decisions and direction. This is the way, walk in it. I've got no idea where I am in my notes now. Do you know, I think if there's a growing sense, if we grow up together in this wonderful gift, one of the implications, one of the offshoots of that is when we together feel that the Lord has said something, spoken, it changes the way we pray. So you pray into it with a greater degree of faith and perseverance. Well, the Lord has spoken. I'm going to give up on that. This is what he said. And there's been this resonating of hearts. No, this is what he said. We pray into that. With a greater degree of faith. And of course, it's also helpful in just praying for one another, praying for others. By listening to God whilst praying for them, we hear God's heart for them and their situation, and then we're able to pray from a heavenly perspective into that situation. And we can get right to the heart of the issue. It's such a powerful gift. I've missed out loads of stuff. Never mind, it's probably good. Listen, some practical stuff here. Let me go back a little bit. I got to do this. important to realize there are three parts to prophecy. There's revelation, and there's interpretation, and there's application. And often you'll receive, if you like, revelation, the word, the picture, the emotion, or a scripture that you feel is relevant. Don't give in to the temptation to find an interpretation to that, what that means, if you haven't been given it. Sometimes we can do that. Well, I've got a picture, and then it's you that takes over. Well, I think this is probably what it means for you. Or apply it to someone. Now, this is what you need to do in the light of that. If you haven't been given that, only go as far as you've been given. Sometimes what you're given is something very, very simple. Sometimes it's nothing more than, some of you will experience this, you experience God's heart for someone. That's it. And you go over to them and you say, I just feel like God has wanted to say to you right now, he really loves you. And you could say, well, you don't need a prophetic word for that. It's in the Bible. But there's something about hearing in a particular circumstance, at a particular time, God wanted to convey his heart. God loves to draw close and bring personal reminders of what he's already said. I'm going to move on. Listen, Paul doesn't say, be open to the gifts of the Spirit. He says, earnestly, desire. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? This is part of what it means to follow the way of love. Earnestly desire. And in weakness and in vulnerability and in humility, vital, we step out in faith. Always with that element of don't be arrogant in it. Don't be cocky. Don't be heavy. This isn't thus saith the Lord, you, and off you go. In humility you say, do you know, I'm wanting to grow in this gift. I'm wanting to grow in being able to hear from God and speak into others. And I may be wrong in this, but as I'm praying, this is what I'm sensing. Does that resonate with you at all? And then from your part, or if it's a corporate thing for the church, it's almost like I'm holding out this coat and saying, well, does it fit? Do you think it fits? Should we try it on just to see if it fits? What do you think? Do people think that this fits me? No, it's too big. Take it off. But there's a weighing of it then. Does this seem to? Because sometimes it's, no, got that one wrong. But sometimes it feels to you like, do you know this is a perfect fit for where I'm at? And others say, absolutely. I believe that's a word from the Lord for you. Take it. Take it as an encouragement from the Lord. But you grow in the gift by using the gift. God's default position is to bless. And so words of encouragement and comfort and strength are spoken. It isn't suddenly blasting you with the gift of prophecy. And so, got it now, way go. It's something you grow into the more you use it. You begin to be able to discern the difference between my thoughts and his thoughts. And it comes through relationship. I have to say that. This gift doesn't come to you if you have no particular desire to walk closely with Jesus. Oh, I'd love that gift. I'd love to be able to. But there's no relationship with Jesus. There's no day by day hearing from him, spending time with him, experiencing his heart. By doing that, you become familiar with his voice. So I'm just going to ask you to do something with me. This is a scary bit, isn't it? Nothing scary. Let's just close our eyes together for a moment. I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to bring to mind. So really, because it'll be a thought. It'll be a thought or an experience, an emotion. It could be a picture. It could be a verse from the Bible. It could be could be some directive, but just that he brings to mind something that he wants to bless somebody else with. Lord, would you do that right now? We thank you that you love to give good gifts to your children, so many gifts. Lord, we thank you for the wide variety of those gifts, but we thank you for this special gift, for the strengthening of one another. Lord, each of us here this evening, our hearts is that we walk in your strength and not in our own strength. And Lord, we want to be able to encourage one another, to put courage into one another. We want to bring comfort. Lord, we want to be sensitive to your voice. And so, Lord, would we right now just put into our minds and our hearts anything that you would have to speak into the lives of each other? Maybe for the church here, or maybe for someone specific. And Lord, would you fill our hearts? Would you shed your love abroad in our hearts? Lord, we pray that everything that we're about, everything that we do, everything that we say, would be motivated and fueled by your love, demonstrated in our lives together. So we're just going to sing together briefly. If there's something for the church or maybe something specific, if it's not anything that is going to embarrass or expose, why don't you just come to the front and share? Or maybe if it's for someone particular, find some time, maybe at the end of the meeting, just to go over and speak that word, whatever it is. Don't ever think, oh man, this is just too plain. There's a nothingness in this word. Just encourage you to begin to step out in faith and to bless one another. But we would love, particularly if the Lord has given you, or as we sing, if the Lord gives you something by way of encouragement to us as a fellowship as a whole, please bring that for our encouragement and our strengthening and for our consolation. Let's stand together, shall we?